Hey family, welcome back to Breaking Bread. I'm your host, Dr. Weech. Once again, we got a wonderful teaching for you. We're talking about the love of God, or loving the Lord our God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. So stay tuned, call somebody, let them know we're on. We'll be right back. Breaking Bread, Breaking Bread, Breaking Bread with Dr. Weech. Faith, Breaking Bread, Breaking Bread, Breaking Bread with Dr. Weech. Faith, family, minds, Breaking Bread, Breaking Bread, Breaking Bread with Dr. Weech. Breaking Bread, Breaking Bread, Breaking Bread with Dr. Weech. You're tuned in to Breaking Bread with your host and moderator, Dr. Weech. Let's go now to our study. Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Weech. And once again, as I said, we have a wonderful teaching for you today. We really do enjoy these teachings and we love hearing from you. And we want you to remember that this show is called Breaking Bread Live. You have comments or questions, text them in to 321-345-9443. That's 321-345-WGGF. We're talking about loving the Lord our God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. Many people find it difficult to understand that love, and they don't have a clear definition of how the Lord our Savior Yeshua Jesus wants us to love Him. And secondly, there are challenges with receiving that love. So we dig into the crux of the matter, and we open up and define love. Accept the love, appreciate the love, and then, and only then, when we've accepted the love of God and understand that we can properly give it, because we're going to love ourselves, and in loving ourselves, we'll be able to love our neighbor in the way Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, prescribed it to us, according to the Father. So friends, tune in, we'll be right back.
All right, thank you all for coming in. We're going to begin right now, and we're going to be talking about love. As we define love and the two greatest commandments and what the Lord talked about. And he said we must love the Lord our God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. So while we're waiting, we could turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 28. Mark chapter 12, verses 28. We'll begin right there. And I believe you have some Bibles right up in there. No, I'm talking about you good? Okay. You just hit me, read it. So before we begin, we have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to coming together to discuss your word. Open our hearts and minds to receive and speak to us where we can understand and hear so we can walk continuously in your word. And we thank you in your precious son name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're looking at Mark chapter 12, verses 28, and the Lord was talking about what was the greatest commandments. And he was saying, when asked, the greatest commandments are these. So we're going to take a look at love, how that love is defined, and how we can demonstrate that particular love. Because when we come to love, I don't know if we can really identify, because some people say they love people and do things to hurt that person. And I don't think that's a clear definition of how we ought to love. Because if we love someone, we should do things to preserve life. So we're going to properly define love and how that love is demonstrated when we're talking about loving the Lord. So when we look at Mark chapter 12, verses 28, Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. So when we're talking about love, the first thing we should do, or the first way we ought to love, is practicing loving the Lord, the Father, through His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And when we can properly understand that love, demonstrate that love, and remember I said we have to receive that love, because some people won't receive that love, you see, and when they won't receive it, they'll say, hey, well, I got to do this to get right with God, I got to do this before I come to God, and you're not receiving it. You see, the Bible says it's a gift, for God so loved the world, He gave. He didn't wait for you to do anything. He is not saying you have to work to understand His love or obtain His love. He's saying the first thing I want you to do is receive that love. So that's the first thing. And in receiving that love, what do? We accept His Son, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua, as our Savior. We don't have to work to do that. We don't have to say, I got to get right. I got to do this before I come to the Lord. No. You're going to continuously get it wrong. You're going to continuously frustrate yourself, because the Bible says God will teach you. Remember we learned in Matthew, the Lord says, learn from me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So he's saying, if you're going to learn from me, there's no way you're going to be able to prepare yourself or better yourself to get yourself in a condition to please me, because you're going to often fall short. You're going to, and if you do not understand this love, you're going to look towards men to get men's approval, and that's not something he wants you to do. So he's saying, I need you to learn from me first, understand that love, then receive that love. Are you following me? All right, so we in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 32. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 32. So the first thing we have to do is we have to accept that love. And we don't have to work to do anything to do that. We don't have to do anything to do that. It's just a matter of accepting it. Now look at John chapter 3, verses 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. And it's a familiar verse. It's a very familiar verse. John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see that? It says, so when God demonstrated that love, he gave. And what he gave his only begotten son. So we see that in our demonstration of love, love is an action word. You see? Love is an action word. Aside from an action word, it's something that we have to clearly define. Right? Because if we don't have a clear definition of what love is, we can get into relationships that we think is love, and it's not love. It could be a manipulative relationship. It could be an abusive relationship in all forms. And we're thinking that's love because we have not had a proper understanding or presentation of what love is. So we got to have an understanding of what love is. This is why Jesus, Yeshua, says, hey, the first thing you need to do is love the Lord your God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. Will you understand that love first, and you have that love clearly identified and defined, you can receive it, accept it. Now you know how to identify relationships that demonstrate love towards you. You see? Because if you get engaged relationship and you really don't know what love is, you're going to feel like, why am I not getting the fullness of this relationship when this person says they love me? You see? So this is what we need to understand. Let's work on that relationship towards loving God first. That is key. That is important. That is the foremost thing we need to understand. So in loving that, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, again, this is the first basis. When we believe in the son, we're already accepting that love. We're not condemned. We have access to eternal life because we believe. That's a good thing. Because in the fact that we're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that we believe he came from God who created the heavens and the earth. He died for the sins of the world. He resurrected and he's coming back, and I'm going to walk in his righteousness. He paid the debt of sin. He paid the debt of sin from the beginning of time to the end of time. And every sin I'm going to commit in this life, not being a practitioner of sin, but every sin I'm going to commit in this life, he paid the debt. And he's the only one that can cash that check. You see? Nothing else, no one else can do that. He's the only one that can cash that check. And as a result of me accepting him, I've already accepted that love. And as a result of me accepting him, I'm going to live towards him so I can understand that love, walk in that love. Are you following me? It's an action part. Right. Love is an action part. Loving him in return is an example of that love. But then again, we're going to go beyond that and define that love. You see, because many people can say, well, they love the Lord, but then how do we know that? Just like if someone says, man, I love you, but they're steady doing things that hurt you. People are like, wait a minute, you got a twisted way of showing me love. If this is your way of love, then don't show me this kind of love, you see? So we're going to properly identify that love so we can say, okay, this is how this love should work, because we're saying that God is righteous. We're saying God is just. And if we understand his kind of love and we accept it, we can know and measure out every relationship we get into. Well, this is how this love should look, you see? Because as we're taking on that love, we're going to be his children. We're born again, and we're going to be able to identify that love and then give that love. You see, you have a question. Yes, he's saying that perception of love, we'll understand when we see it. We'll be able to identify it.
Right.
Just like you, when it comes. So, you know, just like I say, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, or you know one because you one. So when you understand that love, you're able to identify the love of God. All right? So he says, so in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And see, this is the condemnation of verse 19, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So he's saying, well, listen, if you're not believing in this love, you're condemned. See? So this is why when you come into the knowledge of the Lord, there's no condemnation in him. Romans 8 says there's no condemnation for those who walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means you're guilty. You're guilty. Boom. You're guilty. You're condemned. So when we walk in the light and understanding of that love, we're not condemned. You see? As long as we're doing our best to be obedient and demonstrate that love to him. Because men will condemn you quickly. They'll condemn you quickly. Men will write you off quickly. But see, if you're saying, well, I understand this love between me and the Father, vertical, instead of horizontal. I got to understand that love vertical first so I can properly demonstrate it to the fellow man. Because we're going to see the second greatest commandment is the Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. But I can't understand the love and demonstrate love to you if I don't work on that first. You see? So he's saying, whoever does not believe is condemned already. So, if, you know, people who say, hey, they believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't really need the Son. They're condemned. Because the Bible says, you haven't accepted the Son, you're condemned already. But there's a separation because you can't have a fellowship, a proper fellowship with the Father unless you understand the Son. Because the Son came and said, I've revealed the Father to them. In his prayer in John, he says, Father, I've completed the work. I revealed your name. You see? And all his goodness is in his name. That's why the Lord says, when you pray, ask in my name. You pray in my name. That's why we conclude the prayers in Jesus' name and Yeshua's name. Because he says, I've revealed your name, and since you've transferred all of the authority in my name, the fullness of the Father is in the Son. All right? So when we don't believe in the Son, we're condemned already. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 17. 1 John chapter 4. God bless you. You know, they say bless you because the heart stops when it sneezes. And they say, bless you, you're still alive. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And we got to understand this love because we're going to see if we understand this love, we're required to demonstrate this love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Well, let's look at verse 14. Let's look at verse 14. And we have seen and testified, 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. See, John is testifying of this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he is in God. You see? So when we confess these things, we're walking in the knowledge of the Father, the creator of the universe. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So we see, God is love. You see, God is not on a throne waiting to say you messed up and beat you up and send you to hell. That's not what love does. Or that wouldn't be a perception of a proper way of loving. You see, if you believe God to be someone that says, man, he's ready to send me to hell when I mess up, then you'll be like, man, God kind of messed up, right? That ain't love. So that's not how God operates. God is saying, when you mess up, understand, just confess that sin and learn from me so you don't do those things again. You see, because if we're walking in his spirit, the spirit of God is saying, you know, we really ought not to do that because the Bible says when we are children of God, we become born of God. And this is why it says you're baptized and you receive the Holy Spirit. These things, we become born of God. So, love has been perfecting among us is this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment because he as he is, so are we in this world. Yes, you have a question? 1 John. That's in the back. 1 John. That's in the back of the Bible. 1 John. Yes, the 1 John. You know, you have 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John. So it's 1 John. Okay, we all left, right? I'll give you some time. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 17. We're on verse 17 now, right? We're in the 1 John. You know, you have... It's the book of John, and then we have 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So help her out. Same John. Same John wrote that Bible. So, now remember, John is among the four gospels, last of the four gospels. And John talks about love. He really hammers love, and he talks about the Holy Spirit. And now we have the epistle, which are the letters he's writing to the churches. That's what these Johns are. These are letters he's writing to the churches. So, in same John, right, same John. Same John wrote Revelation. So John, he wrote the Acts. He wrote the book, the documentation of what Christ did. Then he wrote these letters, and then he wrote Revelation because he was the last remaining living apostle when he wrote this. And the chapters closed after this because the Lord says it is finished. So now in 1 John chapter 4, it says in verse 17, love has been what? Perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So love is perfected in God. That's why we need to understand, what does God require me of love, and how do I demonstrate this love to the Father? Because, hey, he loves me. Now look at this in verse 18. It says, there is what? No fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if we're fearing God, we're not understanding his love. You see, because it says fear means torment. That means I'm not getting a proper way of this love. See, there is no fear in love. God is love. Why am I fearing God? If I understand his love, if I'm walking in sin and refuse to come to God, there's a reason to fear him, because he says, hey, those who don't believe in the Son, you're condemned already. You have punishment. But if you're walking in the knowledge of Son, there's no reason to fear, because the Son shattered all the works of sin, all the works of things that are anti-God. I'll go right here. This is correct. Yes, God is coming back. Oh, wait a minute. So a question says, he says, is God coming back? No. She's asking, if God comes back, how do we know they're not going to kill him again? Because when he comes back, he's not coming back to act as a savior and a suffering servant. He's coming back as his time, and he's coming with a rod of iron. He's coming back with all the angels. He's coming back to say, I'm coming to just deal with sin. Yes. He came the first time. Yes, he died for sin. He came as the Lamb of God, you see? And as the Lamb, he had to come as that sacrificial being to redeem mankind from sin. But this time, you know, in Revelation, it calls him the Lamb of God and the conquering Lion of Judah. This time he's coming as a lion. And the reason why they said lion, because lion is what? King of the jungle. He rules. So the next time he's coming, he's not saying, no, I'm not coming to... Yeah, he's coming to deal with sin. He's coming to say, hey, I'm showing y'all when I came, I'm the real deal, I'm dealing with sin. I'm not being subjected to any man. I'm coming as creator, and he's coming in all the power. He's coming as all power. Because he says, when I come, I'm coming in the glory of my Father and every angel in heaven. I'm coming, all that's going to be filled in me. Because he's coming with all power. The power he's coming with is power beyond imagination. They can't hurt him. They can't hurt him. There's no way he can, because he's saying, I'm coming back with all the power in heaven. You see? He came back subjected. He came as a man, but still with power. But this time he's coming complete without sin, with all the power of the Father. Because he says, hey, I'm going to one greater than me. The Father's greater than me. And he says, when I return, all the power that's in heaven, I'm coming with that. And the Bible says he's just going to destroy people with the brightness of his coming, unless those who have his Holy Spirit are able to, you know, he's not going to destroy those who accept him, because we're going to have that new body. It says we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye with a new body. But those who don't accept him, those are the ones we just read, said, those are condemned. They're going to suffer from that punishment. You see? So he's not coming back to negotiate, to talk about anything. He's coming back to deal with sin completely and to come to pick those up who have committed their life to him. Yes. Yes. This is right. That's right. Because we can't fear anything. Yes, we don't fear death. Because remember, Jesus says, don't fear the one who can destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy both the soul and body. You see? Yes. Yes. I mean, listen, we all want long life. We all want long life, but we shouldn't fear death, because Jesus came to destroy that fear of death. Because he has all power, yes. Yes. And it's not the end, right? Right. And remember, this is not the end. There is a time where he says we're going to have to stand before the Lord. You see? So in that, we don't fear death. I mean, we all want long life. I want long life. But we shouldn't fear death, because we're saying we're not believing God, who is strong enough to keep us from danger. Remember, the Lord's Prayer says, deliver us from evil. So that means he said, I want you to have long life. He came, he says, I came that you can have abundant life. He wants you to see a fullness of life. So we shouldn't fear death. This is why, if we're walking in the anointing and in the knowledge of God and the love of God, we're going to believe he can protect us from all harm and danger. You see? So that fear of death we shouldn't have, especially when we're doing God's will. You see? Because we're saying God can protect us. And let me tell you, let's face it. As human beings, we have in us the will to fight for our life. You know what I'm saying? If our life feels threatened, we're going to do two things. They say fight or flight. You're going to fight for your life, or you're going to run. So we have that innate behavior where we want to live. So we shouldn't fear death. But we should be mindful that there are things in this life that want us to meet an early end. Whether it be food or whether it be other things. Hey, we have control and we have to educate ourselves. There's sickness, all these things, they want us to meet an early end. But if we're walking in the knowledge of God, we're saying, I'm believing him to overcome all of those things. You see? Because we got to believe the word is the most powerful thing we can rely on. Remember, the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, he killed people with what? He cured people with what? A word. The Bible says he was curing them with the word. So we got to know that this word is the most powerful tool I have in my life. I have to be able to walk in it, understand it, and operate my life according to it. That's why it's very important that we understand the word, because the Bible says, my people suffer from what? A lack of knowledge. The knowledge is in the word. We suffer from the things we don't know. They say, hey, what you don't know can't hurt you. Yes, what we don't know can't hurt us. Yes, we're walking in ignorance. Because if we know this particular thing is dangerous to me, guess what? We shouldn't walk in that danger. If I know this burner is hot, I shouldn't touch this burner because it's going to hurt me. But if I'm going to walk ignorantly in that and don't know, I'm going to suffer the consequences of that, right? So it's important that we educate ourselves to the best of our ability with the word and with practical living. You see? All right, so, and this is what, again, on verse 18 it says, there is no fear in love. There's no reason we should fear God. If we're walking in sin, the Bible says, hey, men love darkness more than light. They refuse to come to the knowledge of the light. And as a result of that, they continue to walk in darkness. Then there's a reason to fear. If we're walking in darkness. And you got to know there are people out there who are walking in darkness deliberately. Because when we look at Revelation, the Lord says, you don't know the deep things of Satan. And remember, Satan is the enemy of God. And he said, you don't know the deep things. So we have to understand there are people who are going into depths of understanding darkness. Yeah. So that means it's our duty to understand the light so we can walk in that light. Yes. Yeah, there are people who ask, there's the church of Satan. You see? So this is very real. These people who do these things seriously know what they're walking into. And if we, and listen, let me tell you, they know that we have all power in that word. The Bible says, hey, at the knee, everything should bow to the name of Jesus Yeshua. So we have the light. Because why? The Bible says the Lord has destroyed the works of the enemy. This is why he came. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. And that fear, if we're walking in fear, we have not embraced or we don't understand the love of God, Elohim. You see? Yeah, so it's important that we walk in the pure light. You see? Because if we're not walking in the pureness of the light, then we're going to have some level of fear. And let's face it, sometimes fear comes from the unknown. We don't know. I'm going into word. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work. But then that's when we got to pray and talk to God. You see? Because if we're walking in fear, we're not walking in faith. And remember, it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because we believe if we diligently pursue him, he's going to reward us because we're walking in faith. You see? So there's another thing. That's the challenge there. The Bible says contend for the faith. That's really the only fight the Bible tells us to have. Because every other battle, the Bible says, the battle's not yours, the Lord's. Because he's completed. Remember he says in John's, do not fear, I've overcome the world. This is why we have to understand his teaching and understand his love, because he's the only one that overcame the world. That's why he says, do not fear. In me, you're going to have some challenges. Or in this world, you have challenges. But what he says, be of good courage, because why? I've overcome the world. It says, it's impossible that you don't meet these. He says, it's an impossibility that you don't encounter challenges or offenses. But he says, be of good courage, I've overcome. You see? So we walk in that understanding. So the point I want to hit here is, we shouldn't fear God. Because they said, what does it say right here? It says, there's no fear in love. And if we just read God is love, change that. There is no fear in God. God is love. We shouldn't fear God in the fact that God is waiting with a thunderbolt to knock me down, to kill me, to strike me dead. No, that is not who God is. God is love. God is saying, if you mess up, I'm waiting for you to confess, come back to me so I can overwhelm you with love. You see? Now, again, because we live in a third dimensional world, if we do something outside of God's will, we're going to deal with the circumstances, the repercussions, you see? But still, God is saying, I'm showing you love. So this is why we have to walk in that understanding. We shouldn't fear God, because God isn't waiting to punish us. God is waiting to love us and overwhelm us with his blessings and to reveal more of his son, Jesus, to us. That is the purpose. Because the fullness in that love and the manifestation or the demonstration of that love is in his son. So the more we get to know his son as our savior, the more we walk in that love and understand that love. And then we'll realize, well, man, you know, I really shouldn't fear God, because God is for me. The Bible says, as God is for me, who can be against me? The Bible says, the Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? Even the Bible says, when a man pleases the Lord, he will make his enemies at peace with him. So this is why we got to understand that love first. Work on that love to God, understanding that love, and then embrace that love. Because why? Some people can be angry with God. Why did you allow this to happen to me? Or why does this happen to me? And then it'll prevent us from accepting that love. And then anger will set in. And guess what? If we don't get a chance to deal with those issues or accept that love, we'll be running from God, and we're doing things more and more that will separate ourselves from God and hurt us. But God is saying, this isn't my plan. Because I tell people, if there's an issue you have with God, you can be totally real and genuine to God and say, God, listen, I'm blaming you for this. This hurt me. This is what I'm dealing with. Why is it this way? Talk to God about it. If you have that issue with him, tell him your heart, and he'll begin to reveal those answers to you. Why? Because he's a God of love. And if he doesn't reveal that, it's because, excuse me, when you go to him and that isn't being revealed, that would mean that he doesn't love you. Because if that issue is preventing you from getting to know him better, then that would hinder the love. And if God is love, he said, I want these issues worked out so you can experience and appreciate the fullness of my love. So I tell you that you can be genuine with God. God, here's the problem right here. This is what's happening. This is what the deal is. This is why I'm upset. Whatever it is. Because Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Give me your burdens. If that is on your heart, give it to God. And then you say, well, I'm going to wait for the answer. And then God will begin to open up those doors of understanding so you can accept and appreciate that love. Are you following me? So, and why? Because there's no fear in love. I ought not to feel that love. I ought not to feel that love, but I ought to walk in that love and appreciate that love and pursue that love. And now here's another one right here in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. You see? We love him because he first loved us. When we had no thought of God, he was still showing us love. Why? Because we woke up this morning, God is the only one that grants life. Enemies of God don't want you to live, they want you to die. Anything that's anti-God wants you dead. So the fact that we woke up this morning, hey, God's showing us love. Because we have another day to work on a relationship to getting to know him better, understanding that love and accepting that love. You follow me? Now, in verse 20, this goes into loving our brother. So let's hold off right here and let's go to John chapter 14, 15. Let's go to John chapter 14, 15. And this is a familiar verse. And it, now we're going to the book of John, chapter 14, 15. The book of John. John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to John chapter 14 and 15. Now here it is where the love is defined. Here it is, the love is defined. In John chapter 14, I believe it says, Jesus says, Yeshua says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see? John 14, 15. Will someone get still read it for me? Verse 15. Yes. And what is he saying? He's saying, well, if you say you love me, you'll do my commandments. You'll do what I tell you to do. Right? So now love is identified, or love is defined. You see? Now, and this is a great level playing field, because we get into relationships and we don't have a love that's properly defined. Remember, you get relationships, people do things that hurt you, manipulate you, control you, abuse you. And they, man, I love you. What kind of love is that? You're working me over. You're running me down. You're wearing me down mentally, socially, and physically with this kind of love that you're doing. But that's not love. So the Lord defines this love. He says, now, well, if you love me, you do what I say. And he says, you'll keep my commandments or observe or watch them. And remember, these are commandments. Why? Because he's the king in the kingdom. Remember, we're in a monarchy. Whatever the king says, it is so. That's why we have to listen to the king, understand what the king is saying, and then observe what he's saying. So I like this. He identifies it. So if he says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. What is that demonstration of hate? We're showing hatred when we what? Don't do what he says. You see? If you love me, you'll do what I say. Well, I'm not going to do what you say. What does that mean? We're hating God. And if we're not demonstrating that love, then there's a reason why we ought to fear him. Because just for sure, God is going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with those who just don't reciprocate that love. Because at a certain point, if you're showing love to someone and they're continuously spitting in your face and rejecting that love, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, you know what? Let me not deal with this person anymore. Right? Because you can't continuously expose yourself to constant hurt and pain, because we're humans as well. Now, the duty is to love. And I always say, well, if I have to love you from a long distance, I'll do that. But I'm going to still demonstrate love. So if we love him, we will do what he says. Now, I'm going to demonstrate or define what that love is. In John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. You see? So he's giving us this commandment. He's saying, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. Well, how did he love? Well, he demonstrated the purity of what God was or wanted. Remember, we can't walk in relationships where we love how we want to love. You know, we love, well, if you do this, I'll do that. Well, because you did this, I'm not going to do that. That's how we love. But God loves unconditionally. And I'm going to get to that to say, well, we just shouldn't be exposing ourselves to constant hurt and pain. But if we're trying to love on a way that man loves, we're never going to get it right. Because why? Man changes on moods. You see? But God's love is perfect and complete. And the mandate he gives us, he says, if you love, well, he says, love me as I have loved you. And look at this in verse 12. We read that in verse 13. It says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are, if you do what I command. So he said, well, listen, we're friends. We're on a friendly level if you do what I tell you to do. But what did he just say? There's no greater love than what? That someone lay down their life for their friends. So he said, I'm demonstrating the epitome and the utmost demonstration of love, and that's laying down my life for you for sin. So now, we're getting an understanding of the greatest act of love, and then the demonstration of love. The greatest act of love is what? No greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. I've called you friends. And secondly, he says, well, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Now watch this. The Lord said, well, if this is the greatest act of love, I'm going to require it of you. Watch this now. And I left my Bible, so I keep having to transfer back and forth. So go to John chapter 10, please. Go to John chapter 10, verse 17. And remember that. John chapter 10, verse 17. John chapter 10, verse 17. John chapter 10, verse 17. Now see, there's power there. But look what else he says in verse 18. No one can take my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. He says, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I received from my Father. So what is he saying? No one can take my life. I'm laying it down because I want to demonstrate the epitome of love, the power of love, the demonstration of love. What is that act? No greater love than someone laid down their life for their friends. No one can take my life. I'm laying it down. You see? So we understand that, hey, but you realize no one can take my life. My life is in his hands. You see? So now remember the greatest act of love that someone lays down their life for the friends. Now let's define this. And we have he says, I have the power to take it up and I have the power to lay it down. No one can do this for me. Now let's go to this scripture here. And I have a couple more here. And you know, I say I like to give a lot of scripture so we can get a clarity of understanding. Let's take a look at chapter Luke, verse 23. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Now, we're defining the love. We're understanding the love. Greater love has no man than this, that they lay down their life. There's no fear in love. We shouldn't fear God. God is demonstrating love to us. Now look what it says in verse 23. Do you see what that says? So in other words, he's saying, and let me just hear the translation here. And he said to them in verse 23, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any man or anybody will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What did Jesus do on that cross, right? And in fact, he carried his cross to Calvary. So Jesus is saying, you can demonstrate that greatest act of love to me, to the Father, is if what? You take up that cross yourself and you die to sin. Remember, the Bible says you must be what? Born again in John chapter 3. He tells Nicodemus, hey, if anybody want to enter this kingdom, you got to be born again of the Spirit and of the water. So now he's saying, in order for you to be born again, no man can make you do that. Remember Jesus, Yeshua just said, no man can take my life, I lay it down. And I take it up again. Nobody can make you confess Jesus as your Savior. God isn't going to make you do that. God isn't going to force you to do that. God wants you to willingly lay down your life to sin and take it up again, committing it to Jesus Christ. Do you see that? So this is the greatest act of love. Remember, the Bible is like the mirror. When God created us, he created us in his image. So when he looks at us, it should be an image of himself. So if he died for our sins, he's saying, well, wait a minute. I demonstrated this act for you. You can demonstrate this act for me. This is why he's saying, pick up your cross daily. The fact that you pick up your cross daily, you're dying to sin every day. You're saying, you know what? In the epitome of that act, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I'm renouncing sin. I want to live for you. And guess what? We take up our life again. No one can make us confess the Lord as our Savior. We lay our lives down willingly to say, I'm going to put away this life of sin. I'm going to accept the Lord as my Savior. I'm going to be baptized again, and I'm going to live in the newness of life. You see? So the greatest act of love, the Lord defined it, laying down a life. The greatest act of love for you to do as well is laying down your life for sin and taking it up again and living for the Father to the glory of the Son. You see that? So the Lord showed us power in himself. No man can take my life. I lay it down. I'll take it up again. No one can take your life. Only you can lay it down and take it up again and live for him. So if the greatest act of love is that a man laid down his life for his friends, Jesus says, you are my friends. The greatest act of love you can demonstrate to the Father is what? Laying down your life to sin, picking it up again, and living for the Father through the Son. Yes. Yes, the Bible says in Peter, we're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You see? So now, we've defined the love. We've defined the demonstration of it. And if we have not accepted the Lord as our Savior and say, I'm going to renounce sin, baptize again, and taking up our life again, living for him, we have not yet demonstrated that greatest act of love. Yes. They are lost. They're deceived. The Bible says, if the gospel be hidden, it's because the God of this world has hidden the gospel from them. And if we're praying to idols, number one, we don't have a knowledge of the Creator. The Bible says some people are worshiping the created things instead of the Creator. So all we can do is pray for them that they get a knowledge or revelation of the Lord, the Son of God, so they can come into a close relationship of the Father. Yes. Yeah. Does that answer your question? You have a question? All right, well, okay, let's go work our way down there. It says in verse 24, for whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So we're not losing anything when we give it to God. We're gaining, you see? So remember, that power of love is I'm laying my life down, that power that God has given me to act as a child of God, and this is God-like. Hey, no one can take my life. I'm laying it down, and I'm going to take it up again and live for him, you see? And in verse 25, it says, for what is man advantage if he gain the world and lose himself will be cast away? So people working hard to gain the world and losing their soul. And the Bible says, what's more precious than your soul? You see? And for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's glory and of his holy angels. You see? That verse right there, he's coming back again. But this time when he's coming in the glory of his Father, his own glory, and the glory of the holy angels. And in verse 27, but I tell you the truth, there'll be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. He's basically talking to his disciples saying, well, they're not going to see death until they see the coming of the kingdom of God. And this could be when he went on the Mount of Configuration. They saw his glory when he transformed, and they say he was in a robe that was so white and bright. They just saw the glory of the king. They say, this is the real deal. He's the king. His servanthood was dropped, and the glory of him was taken on them. Because they say, he stood with Moses and Elijah. This guy is the Son of God. And that's why when he came off that mountain, he said, don't tell anyone about the vision until I'm resurrected from the dead. You see? So we see that greatest act of love. We can demonstrate it to the Father ourselves. And I got a couple more scriptures. Let's go to James. Let's go to James quickly. Yes. Does that answer your question? Did I answer your question? Yeah, that. You want me to expand a little bit, Brian, or? know, it's... Okay, all right. Does that satisfy yours? All right. So I said James chapter 1, right? And I think I said verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. It's a very, very, way to the back. Way to the back. James chapter 1, verse 19. And it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. No, I always say people, you know, someone say you got two ears and one mouth. So you listen two times and speak once, right? And for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The word receive it. It's the only thing that's able to save your souls. But what it says, be ye what? Doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving ourselves. Remember, he says, well, if you love me, you're going to do what I say. And that requires me to do, not just take it in, but to do it. So the Bible says, well, that's just don't be a hearer of the word, but do what the word says. You're going to benefit in the long run. And finally, verse 23, for if anyone be a hearer of the word and does not a doer, he's like a man unto beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholds himself, he looks at himself, and he walks away and forget what manner he is. You see? So this is why I say the word is like a mirror. The more we look into it, the more we read it, the more we should become more like the Father, the more we should become more like God, making us the children of God, the children of the Most High God. And that's why it's like a mirror. The more we look at this word, the more we take it on, the more we're looking like God. So the more God looks at us, we're more in his image. You see? This is why he says, when he made us, we were created in his image. The more we walk in the knowledge of the word, the more we become more like him. The more we walk in the knowledge of the word, the more we realize, I have no reason to fear God. Because if I'm fearing God, that means God doesn't have my best interest at hand. And he has my best interest at hand, so that means I'm not going to fear, because perfect love cast out fear. And why? God was the perfect demonstration of love through his son. For God so loved, he gave his only begotten son. The Lord so loved the Father that he laid down his life for the sins of the world. We love the Father and so son so much, we're doing what he says he wants us to do. Remember, if you love me, you do what I say. Don't just be hearers, be doers. Because if we're being just hearers, we're looking in the mirror and we're forgetting how we look. We need the Bible because the Bible shows us how sinful we are and how much we need the Son. And the more we see that and accept that love and walk in that love, we can be more like him. And we have no reason to fear God anymore. You see? Remember I said sometimes we have to accept that love. Because wrath, it just said there, wrath will prevent us from loving God. Circumstances in our life, and I always say we always have regret, or we will, maybe some of you are better than me, but there's regret that I have for some of the things I've did in the past. I can't change that, and I can't let that from me being a better person, or I can't let that prevent me from getting to know God and accepting the love of God. Because if the love of God says, I'm not going to remember your sins anymore, then that means when people try to bring up my past, then you're an accuser. Because I'm not condemned, because I believe in the Son, and if he says, I'm not going to remember your sins no more, and I'm a changed person as a result of the gospel, I'm not going to let you, Satan, be the accuser of me. You have a question? Yes. Exactly. This is exactly right. Even when we don't forgive ourselves, God forgives us. Sometimes we're our roughest critic. You know, and again, I say, if you are at this place, you can say, Lord, listen, I'm having a difficult time dealing with this. I need help getting over this. I need healing. I need the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to help me get over this. Because sometimes it's going to require that help and the love of God and you embracing that help to help you get over that thing. You have to become a new creature. And this is why it says, as we get more into the word, we look more like him. Remember, it says the word was made flesh. The more we read that word, we take it in and live it, we're living the word. We're flesh. That's flesh living the word. So God is saying, listen, when you come to me, I don't see that sin. I'm seeing my son, Jesus, Yeshua. This is why you're praying in his name. He dealt with the power of sin. Remember, sin separates us from the Father. And since the Son came to destroy that work and we walk in the Son, God is saying, man, I want you so close to me. I want you to understand this love. I want you to embrace this love. So that means whatever it is that's in our hearts that's preventing us from walking in that love, you got to give it to God and be real about it. Because he says, I don't want nothing preventing you from walking in the perfection of that love. Because if we have a situation where we're not walking in that love, then there's some fear in there. And that we have not understand the fullness of God's love. And God definitely wants us to walk in that fullness of love. I made a mistake. Father, forgive me. Let's move forward. Right? You see? Yeah. And guess what? As long as I'm living, I may make another mistake. Yeah, we're going to make more mistakes. But we're saying, I still want to stay close to the Father. And that's not mean I'm deliberately making mistakes. Right? But I'm saying, hey, I might have missed it on this one. But I still have the love of God on my life. We still can walk in that love. There's no reason to fear. Don't give up. Don't ever let situation or circumstances prevent you from communicating with God, saying, Lord, forgive me. I missed the mark. Because as long as you're doing that, you're giving God a reason to bring him closer to you. Remember, God isn't going to force himself on you. That would be, well, I'm going to force my love on you. No, he says, no one has the power to lay down a life. Only you have the power to give your life to Christ and live for him. Yes. 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 And this is important. We ought to remember these things that God just wants to shower us in love. There's no fear in God. There's no reason for us to fear God. If we don't accept his son, then there's a reason to fear we're condemned. Remember? The Bible says, well, if you don't believe in me, you're condemned already. What the Bible says, if you don't believe in the Son, you're condemned already. But now, we want to go beyond that. We want to walk in the love. He's defined the love. If you love me, do what I say. Then he says, the greatest act of love, laying down your life. We give our life to him. We're born again, and we're taking up our lives, and we're living to him. That's the greatest act of love we can demonstrate to him. And finally, I have to finish this, and then we're done. Mark chapter 1, verse 12, verse 31. Now, we understand that love for God. We've embraced that love. We received that love. Now, we know how to love our neighbor as ourselves, because Mark chapter 12, verse 31 says, and the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. And if we look at the 10, which is more the 10 commandments, that's the moral code. We see that those 10 deal with God and deal with neighbor. The first 5 dealing with God, the last 5 dealing with neighbor. Commandment 5 says, honor your father and mother. And, you know, sometimes people classify our parents as God because they've given us life. That's why the first 5 God, the first 5 neighbor. So we see, we have to first understand that love of God first so we can have a confidence in ourselves. So when we get around other people, we can know what love is instead of abusive relationships, manipulative relationships, because God doesn't want to manipulate us. God isn't going to abuse us. So he doesn't want us in those kind of relationships. So when we can identify, well, you know, me being friendly with you isn't the best interest of me because you're demonstrating an abusive kind of love. That's not fruitful for me. So in order for me to stay in the will of God, I may have to go over here and live on this side of the building while you stay on that side. I still love you, but you're not demonstrating that love proper to me. And because God wants me to have an abundant life and wants me to walk in the fullness of that love, maybe it's best I just pray for you and not really interact with you at this time, because I'm not at that level yet where I can be exposed to that. Because you got to understand, everybody doesn't have the Spirit of God. They may say they have the Spirit of God. You may have people in religious environments say, hey, they got the Spirit of God. But are they doing what the Word says? Are they demonstrating God kind of love? Remember, Jesus says, love as I have loved. And remember, his kind of love was not scornful, wasn't abusive, wasn't manipulative. Because, see, man can say they love you, but then they do some crazy things to say, well, wait a minute, man, that wasn't love. You have a question? And whatever the reason, it could be a number of things. But whatever the reason, we still are obligated to walk in love. That's what it means. And why? Because if we're doing what God told us to do, and the Bible says he loved us first, we still are obligated to love above everything else. And the reason why I said it is because we're commanded to love, that means if I have to stay away from you to walk in that love, I'm going to do that. There are some people I love, but I just can't really be around them too long. So I can intentionally walk in love. And it means, well, I'm going to love you, but for me to walk in that love, I got to be over here. I have to do that. Because, see, we're compelled to walk in love because he first loved us. The Bible says he raises the son on the just and the unjust. So our mandate is to walk in love. That's why we first have to understand, how do I love God? And when I understand how to love God, I'll understand how to love my neighbor. Because in understanding how to love God, I know how to love me. Because, see, sometimes we settle for less than good relationships because we don't know how to love ourselves. Yes, last question. This is what I just, and this is what I said, in that, well, I need to stay away from you. Remember? I'm going to stay away from you because I'm commanded to walk in love. And in doing so, I need to stay far from you because that's love. Again, there's some people I have to love, but I just don't deal with because they're shady, because they may try to bring me out of character, or it may just get to a place where I'm no longer walking in my love. And if that's the case, stay away from those people. Because, see, the one thing God wants you to have is peace. It says he will keep those who love him in perfect peace. And if I'm getting around someone who's not keeping me in peace, that's not God. I'm not going near that person. I'm staying away from that, and I'm just going to leave that alone. You see? That's the best thing. Because it doesn't mean I'm going to love you. I got to be around you. No. Remember, if they're not going to accept that love, there's nothing you can do to make them accept that love. Because God isn't going to make you accept his love. Remember, he says, no man takes my life. I lay it down. So no man can, God cannot make you love him, that you've got to accept it and embrace it and walk in it. Well, wait a minute. You're a child of God, and he wants you to start thinking like him. Yes, your mind needs to be renewed. Now, you're saying, well, listen, if this person doesn't like me and they're trying to hurt me, do I need to be around that person? No. And that doesn't mean you hate them. It's just saying, I need to love you, and I can love you on this side of the building. Hey, how you doing? And you keep it moving. You see? Oh, what do you need? Okay, I'll see if I keep it moving. See, the Bible says, if it's within our power, be at peace with people. So if I've done everything in my power to be at peace with you and you still don't want to be at peace with me, okay, I'm going to leave you alone. You have some anger issues you need to deal with the Creator. I've broke mine out. I'm not going to let you drag me down because, you know, the saying, misery loves company. I'm not going to be company with misery. I want to be in perfect peace. So I'm telling you, yes, the Bible says we ought to love everybody, but at the same time, if loving you puts my health at risk, my life at risk, I'm going to be far from you, still loving you. More important, your salvation, no jeopardy. And quick, let me give you this illustration. It was a people who was giving a Bible study in Miami Gardens house. And it was an older lady and her son, a grandson, giving the Bible study. And someone knocked on the door late night. And they went to the study and they let him in. And this dude murdered him. Now, I'm going to tell you, in a situation like that, if I'm having Bible study in my house, you knock at my door at 11 or 12 o'clock, you're waiting till the morning. Common sense. I don't care if you say, hey, I'm the what do you want late night? You want a drink of water? Come to the window, I'll drop it out. I'm saying we still have to use common sense. You see? Because everybody may say, hey, I love God, I believe in God, but their mind may not be that way. And this is where we have to have the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. And I'm saying we have to use common sense. There was a guy many years ago, he just was a thief. And he said, hey, give me a ride somewhere. Brother, I'll give you $5 to call a cab. You're not riding with me. You see, that was just wisdom. Then, in fact, I didn't love him. I'm going to use wisdom. Why? Because I love life. I love living. This is why. And guess what? This is why John says, test every spirit. Because we love God, he doesn't say you got to be stupid. You got to be ignorant. He's still saying use common sense. And if something doesn't feel right, you know, I'm just going to leave it alone. Don't go beyond that. Because remember, if we have a mindset something may be wrong, that more than likely is the Holy Spirit sent. Leave that alone. Because if we're fearing that, then that's not God. Let's just move away from that. And I'm saying, if it requires you to go the other way, to love someone, don't feel bad about that. Okay? Because the most important thing, God wants to protect those that belong to him. And you can say, Lord, listen, you know, I just didn't feel right about that. Forgive me if I was wrong. And so be the case. We live another day. Right? We live another day. So I have to let you all go because I know it's 12. I don't want to go beyond my time. But if there are more questions, I'm going to pray and release you. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word. We thank you for understanding. Continue to allow us to draw closer to you through the week. And let our hearts and minds have a greater understanding and a revelation of who you are. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord shine his countenance upon you, that the name of the Lord is upon you. His word says that he will bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Friends, that's my time. Listen, if you would like a copy, DVD, or CD of this particular message, please respond to us with a gift of any kind and mail it to our mailing address. Let me bless you in the name of the Lord. And that simply means may the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord shine his countenance upon you, that the name of the Lord is upon you. His word says that he will bless you. Shalom, friends. For correspondence to this organization, you may write P.O. Box 472515, Miami, Florida 33247. Or you may log on to the website www.theg2gfoundation.org.